I have chosen today to speak from Psalm 23. It is a very well-known psalm. It is a psalm of David. I guess all of us can recite it from our heart. Many of us have gotten great encouragement from it. And even at school, we were made to memorize it, and it has a very special message for us. But they say there is nothing as better as a message that is preached on time. When the message of God meets with the season, that word, even if it's a well-known word, but if it is preached within the right context, it brings with it an impact which can ordinarily not be there. And I hope and pray that this morning, as we share from Psalm 23, we would find grace, even fresh grace from the Lord to our hearts this morning. Let us read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He led me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. You know, David here in this psalm chose the image of a shepherd as a vehicle which he will use to carry the message of Psalm 23 to us. This he does in order to increase our awareness of God's presence and the uniqueness of his providence, his might, his love, his majesty, and his protection over our life. This metaphor and imagery of the shepherd and sheep appears clearly to us when we read verse 1 to verse 3. The sheep, it's a symbol of absolute loyalty and reliance on Yahweh, the shepherd. The sheep always abides in the sheepfold and surrender themselves to be governed by the shepherd. The shepherd then willingly provides green grass, safe, secure waters, and a safe and protected path for the sheep. Now, we all know David himself was a shepherd. He understood the proper usage of this metaphor and also understood the close connection between the shepherd and the sheepfold. At other times in our lives, we worry and fret over life in many occasions. And David was a man just like us. And he too was tempted to fret and worry over his life on many occasions. So this psalm was also a life experience of David and how through faith and his relationship with Yahweh, his shepherd, he learned to walk in the presence of Yahweh, under his protection, under his care, and under his love And there was a time also when Saul was seeking the life of David, and some of the commentators are telling us that perhaps the context of this psalm was when he was trying to survive, to hide and to run away from Saul. But you see, David overcame sinful worry by trusting and rejoicing in God. Psalm 23 provides a model for us, a paradigm to be followed throughout our lives as we respond to all the difficulties and the worries that come our way. David says, by way of example, in Psalm 23, that there is a constructive God-honoring way of responding to needs, responding to anxiety or fear that comes to our lives. Now, Psalm 23 also is supported from many traditions that come from the Old Testament text. David, in this psalm, tries to connect portions and stories of the history of ancient Israel in order to make use of these traditions and images. For an example, the use of the imagery of Yahweh as a shepherd is reflected in many biblical traditions like the Exodus. And one passage that grabbed my mind was Psalm 78, where we read an account of how the divine shepherd led the people from Egypt to the Holy Land. We read in Psalm 78 these words: "He led out his people like a sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them to safety so that they were not afraid." And so it is not a new concept, but it is a concept that was there. Also, many scholars have done an excellent work in trying to explain the ancient Near East, Eastern context of this psalm. It is important for us to grasp the meaning of this psalm in its original context and understand how culture used the shepherd image for their kings or for their gods during those times. But in this psalm, David, being well aware of the broad cultural background, is thus making an affirmation of faith that the Lord is the only true shepherd of each and every Israelite and not any foreign god or king. This will help, this psalm will also help us, not merely as a message of comfort on our journey of life, but also it will help us as a theological creed spoken in the midst of our own present culture, our culture which has its own earthly leaders and gods, but these leaders and gods can never be the shepherd king of Psalm 23. Look around you now and tell me, what do you see? What is happening around us and the present circumstances that we are in right now? Many of us are gripped by the fear of COVID and the fear of death. Every time we watch or listen to the news, we hear of how many people are infected by COVID and how many are dead. And every time when we hear these tidings, when they reach our ears, they drive fear and dread deeper into our hearts. But this morning, I want us to look at Psalm 23 and glean from it a reminder of who God is in our lives and how he promised to take care of us and to provide what we need, and how he is protecting us in the midst of this confusion and the midst of this pandemic. I hope this message will bring clarity of mind and thought, clarity of faith, and instruction from the Lord. When I was preparing this message, I read many commentaries to understand the thoughts of others on this psalm, since I'm not the first person to try and understand this psalm. There are others who walked this mile before me. When you read these commentators, they give so many interpretations of the metaphor and imagery before us. Some make us to see the shepherd, while others are making us to see the host and the banquet which the host is has prepared for his guests. But after a thorough deliberation on this matter, I resolved in my mind to bring to your hearts, to your minds, and to your faith only one image. And that image is the image of the great and faithful shepherd. I don't think Psalm 23 brings two pictures. It only brings one. And you will understand shortly why I say that. And therefore, this morning, I only want to focus on him and on him alone. If one has studied the psalm correctly, the first thing that we will see here is the shepherd, not the sheep. Otherwise, we have not read it properly. And it is not the host and the banquet that we see, but the great shepherd and his great care for his people. Now, we cannot concentrate on seeing the sheep but missing the shepherd because of the sheep. Like as someone has said, he missed the forest because of the trees, and he misses the trees because of the forest. And this is what we will be doing when we see the sheep and we don't see the shepherd. Now, I want this framework of mind and thought to carry us into the psalm before us. Now, as I see and look into it, the main center of focus for this psalm is found in the words of verse 4, which says, "For you are with me." For you are with me is the focus of this psalm. Now in verse 4, David talks about Yahweh, and he says, "You are with me." Now, when you read the first three verses, verse 1 to verse 3, David was talking to us about the Lord. But in verse 4, he shifts the focus from talking to us and is now personally and directly addressing the Lord himself, the shepherd, and calls him you. He uses you in the reference to the law. Thus, the thought at the very center of this psalm is the phrase, "You are with me." Another thing that we see in the psalm at the very beginning is that when we consider the use of the Lord in the opening clause, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd," we have the Lord there is the first thing that is introduced to us. And again, at the close of this psalm, we find the words, again, "Lord," appearing in the close of this psalm, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord." Now, what we see here is really the portrait of the divine shepherd who is there at the beginning of the psalm, addressed as Lord Yahweh. We also see him at the middle of this psalm addressed by David as you. And also we see him at the end of this psalm again addressed as the law. Therefore, all these verses that we have between verse 1 and the last verse and the last verse must be interpreted within the boundaries marked by the opening and the closing clause of the psalm. With the word Lord used here by the psalmist is an Old Testament personal name for God, which was first disclosed to Moses during the burning bush experience. God revealed himself as the I am who I am, the Lord Yahweh. The name, as you would see, refers to the timelessness of God, the God who is unchanging. Someone said, or it's a song, I can't remember well, but I remember the phrase goes like, change and decay is all around that I see. But yes, change and decay might be around us, but the Lord our God is unchanging. And this is what reassures the psalmist that care, guidance, and protection will be made available by the Lord, who is the great shepherd, to whom no one, nothing, and anybody can compare. And this God, this Lord, is unchanging. That is why David talks about dwelling forever in the house of the Lord, and that goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life, because this God is eternal, is unchanging, and his promises and care and goodness in our life is not temporal, it's eternal, like him who is eternal. Now, three great responsibilities and characters of God are highlighted in the psalm. He is the shepherd who knows how to care and provide for his sheep, and he knows how to lead his people, and he knows how to protect his sheep. And these are the three highlights of the psalm on what is the relationship of the sheep to the shepherd. Of the shepherd to the sheep, and what does he do in their lives. Now, we must not forget that these three things happen within the context of God's presence. That is the one who is with us, according to verse 4. Now, let us look at the first one. How does the great shepherd care, feed, and provide for his sheep? Now, focusing on God's provision, we see three things emerging from the text. First, God is a personal shepherd. David says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. David is saying by those words that he knows God personally. To him, the God of the universe was a personal God who is and will remain in control as the good shepherd of his whole life. The question to us, therefore, this morning is whether we know God like David did. Are we like David? Do we know God personally? Does he work in our lives personally? Can we attest of his presence and provision in our lives? Or you are like someone who hear about what God can do, but the knowledge you have is of a God who is out there, but not real and existing in your life. But like David, we must make this God to be our God, so that indeed he becomes my shepherd like he was to David. Now, it is the absence of this knowledge and assurance that makes life so unbearable. The absence of this knowledge makes life to have no meaning and to be so difficult. That condition will drive one to be in a condition of helplessness and looking forward to nothing but death. God must be our personal shepherd. You must have the saving knowledge of Christ. It is not good enough to know that he saves, but he must be the savior of your life. Okay? And the second thing that I want to highlight concerning the care and the provision of God is that the provision of the Lord and care of God in our life is perfect. When God is our provider, David says, we will lack nothing. We will lack nothing. The great shepherd knows when to feed the sheep. We will lack nothing because the great shepherd knows how to feed the sheep. We lack nothing because the great shepherd knows where to feed the sheep. David wants us to understand that this shepherd goes all out for his sheep. The shepherd wants them to have the best and is sensitive to their very needs. As I look and understand the provision of the Lord, the green pastures and the still waters are the representations of the daily needs of the sheep. But what I find unique also here is that the provision of the Lord doesn't end there. It only begins there, with the green pastures and the still waters. Now, when the psalmist talk about the table laid in the presence of my enemies, I understand it to mean that God, as the perfect provider, does not only provide to us the bare necessities of life, like the green grass and the still waters. The psalmist tells us that there are times when the great shepherd becomes extravagant. There are times when he gives the best for the sheep of his pasture. There are times when he decides to spoil his children and make an open display of the riches of his grace upon us while the devil and his angels watch. Such a God we must seek. And such a God we must take our needs to him. Because when he provides, we are not getting second best from him. We get the best, the fullest, even the abundance, to the point where the psalmist is saying, my cup overflows, my cup runs over because of the extravagance of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Unto him be honor, unto him be praise, both now and forevermore. For he is a faithful shepherd who gives us only what is excellent. And this excellence is pictured by the green pastures and the quiet, clean waters. Even he provides beyond what we expect and comprehend. He at times even provides abundantly to the point where when we look at this abundance, we may liken it to a banquet. And that is why I said, we only have one picture, one image presented to us in Psalm 23, and it is the image of the shepherd, who does not only provide bare necessities of life, but also can be extravagant, bountiful, overflowing provision, which resembles a banquet, because he is the great good shepherd of our lives. Even Paul joins David in confirming this to us. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says concerning what the good shepherd has done for his people. The Apostle Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not then, along with him, graciously give us all that we need? In another place, it is written, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That is the good shepherd that we have. His provision is perfect, is complete, is extravagant, is enough, at times overflowing in abundance. Now, thirdly, he provides rest by removing all restlessness. We can never look at the green pastures placed before us, where the sheep are resting under the cool of the day, on the green pastures besides the clean still waters, and not see the absence of restlessness. It is not only what the shepherd feeds the sheep, but the context in which he feeds the sheep is also very important, because that context must remove all restlessness. You may provide food for the sheep, but if the sheep still feel threatened and that where it is eating is dangerous, it cannot feed the way it's supposed to because of restlessness. So this God is the God who removes all restlessness. The still waters are literally the waters of stillness, whose quiet flow invites one to tranquility. They are contrasted with noisy streams on the other hand, and contrasted to the stagnant offensive pools on the other hand. The green pastures and the still waters are the atmosphere in which he is able to restore, to revive, or to quicken the soul of the sheep. As David says, he restores my soul. So we see here that God's provision finds place within a safe place that provides a haven for the sheep. The place where they feed is also very important, as I said. The psalmist David also tells us there is a time when he anoints our head with oil, the oil of healing, when he takes away the spirit of sadness and instead gives us joy and healing of our hearts, thus freeing us from our sorrows and making our hearts to rejoice. When David talks about laying the table in the presence of our enemies. He simply means that when the Lord is present with us, all fear is removed. There might be danger around us, but no harm will befall us, for he, the good shepherd, is with us. Enemies may roam around us, but they shouldn't startle us and cause us fear, because the Lord is with us. So David brings before us such a God of boundless and eternal joys. Yet some of us have deep struggles in our present circumstances, whatever they may be. Let me tell you this. Don't allow the devil to tell you that God is only good when times are good. But when there is hardship, he is nowhere to be found. I don't know if we remember a picture that was always drawn to us at Sunday school of somebody who had a dream that he and Jesus were walking along the seashore. And as he looked, they walked, but when there was hardship, then he only saw one set of feet. And then he was so angry and went back to Jesus and said, "But why, when I'm in hardship, you are nowhere to be found?" And Jesus said to him, "Look again, because the footprints that you see there are not yours but mine. Because when the times are tough, I don't allow you to walk with me, I carry you. I give you complete care, love and grace. I remember that you are nothing but flesh and blood, the work of my hands." Remember what David said? "You are with me." He is with those who seek him and allow him to take the rightful place in their lives. When you are a child of God, let me remind you of this. Your condition cannot be helpless and hopeless like those who don't know God or like those who have no God. Those who have no God has a reason to be restless, but those who have God must not abide in restlessness. Okay, we have seen the first point of a good shepherd who takes care of his sheep and how he takes care of them and the quality and the nature of that care. Secondly, let me make you to focus on the leadership of the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. And David goes on to say that as we go through life, God guides us as a good shepherd. But note also where he leads. It says, "He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I want you to notice two things there. He guides you in righteous paths, and he does that for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness means right or true paths that are certain and lead to the places of rest and provision talked about in the psalm in verse 2. We cannot seek God to be the shepherd of our lives while we tolerate sin in our lives. In fact, there will not come a time when God does not demand righteousness from us. Even during this period where it is tough for everybody, you cannot go and disobey God and go and live ungodly and say, "God will understand I was in the midst of the pandemic. We cannot take leave on the road of righteousness. And there will not come a time when God does not demand righteousness from us. John says that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But also notice why he leads and guides us. At the end of verse 3, he gives the reasons why God was such a faithful shepherd to David and still for us today. He does it for his own name's sake. And that is, it is for the sake of the glory and reputation of his own name and honor that he is doing it. The phrase "for his name's sake" indicates that the shepherd's very name is his reputation. And if he doesn't do a good work, his name and reputation are at stake as the good shepherd. What he does by taking care of us is a revelation of his being and a revelation of his character. And that is the God who leads us. Okay, let me go to the last point now. How does he protect his sheep? And let me ask this question. What kind of reputation would a shepherd in Palestine earn if everybody knew that the shepherd was careless and irresponsible with his own sheep? Thus, we can ask the question, what kind of reputation would God earn for himself if he were to be careless with those that belong to his church? God's name and character is on the line here. He wants to show the world that he is faithful to provide for all our needs and to guide us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David is talking in the psalm that life has valleys. Some of the valleys look like the valleys of the shadow of death. It is for that reason that we often find that we travel through what appears to be dangerous circumstances. But we need not to be overcome with fear, for as the shepherd is with us and is able to ward off any danger by his rod and his staff, so God is powerful enough to protect us from danger. He watches over us and keeps us from being destroyed by ravenous beasts. The thing here is that we do not wake up one day only to find ourselves in the shadow of death. We find ourselves in the shadow of death because the shepherd leads us there. The verb "lead" does not connote force, but it has the idea of gentle leading of friendship and love. As Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, "He shall gently lead you. He shall lead those who are with young. He will lead them diligently." Now verse 4b says, "You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Passing through the deep valley of death, in the midst of many dangers, the sheep does not fear because the presence of the shepherd is there. The clause "you are with me" connotes the intimacy between the sheep and the shepherd. He protects them from what would seem to be the source of our danger. But the Lord is a faithful shepherd. He provides for us in anything, as we have already heard. He protects us at times by shielding us from difficulty, but although at other times He may permit difficulties in our lives, not for his own benefit, but for our own benefit. The first psalm, portion of the psalm, encourages us therefore to trust in God as the faithful shepherd, rather than allowing ourselves to be troubled with anxiety. Please just give me a few minutes, let me give you Jesus, and I will sit down. You know, I sometimes wonder, when I look at Psalm 22, a very sorrowful psalm, the cry of the Messiah on the cross. Then when I look in Psalm 24, I see the resurrected, ascending Messiah who reaches heaven, and there a host of angelic voices are shouting before him, saying, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory will come in." And who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I used to look at those two psalms. But let me take you here this morning. Between those two psalms is sandwiched between them the psalm of the cross. Psalm 23. I suggest, therefore, that this psalm is just not a nice comfort for God's people only, but in this psalm, the messianic import of this psalm is indicated not only by its compositional placement in the book of Psalms between two other messianic psalms, but also by its literary structure. It highlights the key messianic terminology. Note well, the shepherd's psalm was sung by the sheep or the lamb. The Lord is my shepherd. And on the deepest level, I suggest then that the sheep is none other than the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He trusted his father, the shepherd. Even though the cross lay before him, even though the valley of the shadow of darkness lay before him, he still trusted his father, even when the father was leading him into this valley. To a point where in Psalm 23 he's crying, "My God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me?" Yet he trusted the Lord and he was obedient to God. The Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. He trusted the Father that even though he slay him, he will raise him up. Even though he enters the valley, he will only walk through the valley. And that is the confidence and faith that should be in us as well. And in the light of this messianic interpretation of this psalm, we can follow in the steps of Christ as God's sheep. We have clear, practical word to us how to follow the great shepherd. And Psalm 23 is a psalm of trust in the Lord, in the shepherd. We can walk in the steps of the Lamb of God, and like him, we can trust the shepherd in the paths of righteousness, and even in the valleys of the shadow of death. But sometimes we struggle. We only believe God to save us from death, but we don't believe Him to even save us through death. In the 23rd Psalm, therefore, we are invited to behold the Lamb of God who was slain for our sin. That Lamb is our shepherd. Let's live in Him. Like David, let's make Him our shepherd. Then we will see the fullness of His love, the fullness of His glory and care. Sometimes they say if you are standing in front of the mountain, what you see is only these threatening huge rocks that are before you. But beyond them lay glories unknown. Let's not be discouraged by this mountain of COVID and all the problems that are associated with them. People are down, people are weak, people are scared. We have the great shepherd, and we have a reason not to be demoralized, not to be destroyed, not to be hopeless like them. For we have a God who takes care of us. Thank you. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, we come before you this morning, give you glory. We give you honor, for they belong unto thee. We pray as Christ has taught us to pray, that hallowed be thy name. May your name be given all the honor and the glory that befits your greatness. May we keep it sanctified in our lives, in our thoughts, in our ways, in our relationship, even in our worship of God. Father, we also pray, may your will be done even in the midst of COVID-19. May your will be done, O Lord. May we continue to walk in the paths of the righteousness for your name's sake, believing that He who gently leads us into the valleys of the shadow of death is the one who will faithfully bring us through them by His right hand of deliverance. Father, lead us through this valley of COVID-19. Hold our hands steadfast, that we shall not fall, that we shall not be confused, that we shall not be led astray. May we never lose our fellowship with you, our oneness with you. Your word says to us this morning that you are with us. May your presence, O Lord, banish all fear, all weakness, all apostasy. Lord, may your presence be our strength, even our faith, as we walk through this valley. We believe the great shepherd will make us to take our mile through this journey. But the one who is faithful will bring us through, even with greater strength and faith than we had before. Father, your word says you are able to make us both willing and able to do your good pleasure. We pray therefore in the name of the Lord Jesus, that may your grace be sufficient to us in every sphere of our lives. We pray that obedience and faith shall be given to us, that we must cling to him who is the great shepherd. We pray that his care will be bountiful, overflowing in our lives. Strengthen our faith, O God, and do not let us to depart from your way, from your righteousness, from your great glory. We pray that you will give us obedience. We thank you for all these things, for you promised to hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus Christ's name, Father, give us these things and whatever is necessary both for life and godliness. We ask and we plead in the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.